In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning. This is Dr. Richard Schmidt, founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries, and it's a wonderful pleasure to be able to fill in on the Word for Life broadcast. Most of you are familiar with Pastor John Fallahy at Brookside. He's a wonderful friend. He's my partner on Prophecy Focus TV, and we just have a wonderful time studying the Word of God together and sharing it with folks. So it's a real privilege to be here, and we started a series on the seven Jewish feasts found in Leviticus 23. Well, let me very quickly, in case you missed the first couple of broadcasts, just review what we've been through. So we're looking at the first two feasts. We've done that so far, the Passover feast, basically when the Jews were released from Egypt by shedding the blood of a lamb, putting it on the doorpost and on the top of the doorpost, if you will, the lintel. And God said when he would pass over those homes, no one would be harmed in that home. What would happen to the Egyptian people who refused to do the blood sacrifice and refused to apply the blood? Well, God made it clear that every Egyptian family, the firstborn in that household, would die. Pharaoh's son dies, and all of a sudden he realized that he needed to get the Jewish people, the Hebrew children, if you will, out of his country. He's upset, he's down, and tells them to leave. Well, also associated with that is our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for our sins. Then we talked secondly about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. First of all, the Passover, they didn't have time to wait for the bread or the yeast to take effect to rise the bread. This Passover was to be done quickly, in haste, looking to God who would deliver them and make them very quickly leave the land of Egypt and head towards Israel. But the unleavened bread feast had much more significance because leaven or yeast represents sin. And when we looked at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we looked forward to what would happen with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, here's a very interesting fact. Jesus Christ was crucified on Passover. Literally, they celebrated the Passover meal together. Jesus is arrested, he's taken, and he is crucified on Passover. Extremely important. As you may recall with me, Jesus Christ, after his death, he was buried. We know about the tomb that he was placed in, a borrowed tomb. They placed the body of Jesus in that tomb for how long? You're right, 3 days. Now, what happened on the third day? Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But wait a second. What did the Feast of Unleavened Bread have to do with prophecy? Well, here's what it had to do. The Passover is the day that Jesus died. The Feast of Unleavened Bread also starts that day, and Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, was buried at the start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, exactly as outlined in Leviticus 23. Jesus, the Passover lamb, was crucified on Passover, buried at the start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, that takes us up to the third Jewish feast known as First Fruits. Now, if you're paying attention here and you've got a little bit of Bible in you, we talked about Jesus being crucified on Passover, buried on the start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now the interesting thing is, how many days after Passover is the Feast of First Fruits? Well, it just happens to be 3 days later. And we're going to see how Jesus was resurrected on a Feast of First Fruits. When did God institute these sacrifices? 1491 B.C., almost 1,500 years before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, these feasts were instituted. Now, folks, I think that's not by accident. I think God designed the Passover to be a look to the Jewish people and to Gentiles as well about what Jesus Christ would do when he literally fulfilled the Jewish feasts in the same day order. All right, well, let's take a look for a moment at the Feast of First Fruits and how all this came to be a reality. In Leviticus chapter 23, again, all seven feasts are talked about in that particular chapter, and I'll just read a couple verses. Leviticus 23, verse 9, remember, this happened back in 1400 B.C. when this was instituted, a long time ago. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land, Israel, which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day that the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. All right, what are we having taken place here? Let's go way back several thousand years. We have the Jewish people originally, what are they doing? They're being released from Egypt. They have no sin or leaven in their bread. Now we come a few days later to what's known as the Feast of First Fruits. Now this will be something that will, of course, progress over the many thousands of years. But God is talking about, this is harvest time. It's a very important spring harvest, and the people, when they have a crop, when the fruit comes in, if you will, or the barley and the wheat, which quite frankly is something that I see harvested even here in Wisconsin where we're from. And God says, listen, the first fruits, the first piece of your harvest belongs to God. And God says, I want you to take those things on this specific day. I want you to hold up and do what's known as a wave offering, basically as thanking God for supplying the food that he'd given to them. Let's look at that a little bit more in Leviticus 23:13. So he's talking about, first of all, I want you to sacrifice a lamb again as an offering. Then he says it's grain offering. And then he talks about a drink offering. So there's multiple things. What is God doing here? Every single thing that we have, God is saying, I'm the one who created all things. Colossians 1:16 reminds us that Jesus Christ, God's Son, created everything. God created all things. It's not by accident that you and I have food to eat. It's not by accident that God has supplied water and food and all the many different things that me and you enjoy. And what is he saying on this first fruits feast? I want you to remember what I have done for you, and I want you to rejoice with the fruits, if you will, of your crop. Well, folks, there's so many different offerings that are talked about in Scripture, and we're not going to go through all of them, but just think about these things. God talked about burnt offering in Leviticus 1, the grain offering in Leviticus 2, the peace offering in Leviticus 3, the sin offering in Leviticus 4 and 5, and drink offering in Leviticus 23. So every single substance we have, how can we relate this to today? Well, here's how, folks. Did you wake up this morning and have breakfast? Did you have a cup of coffee? Did you have a glass of milk or maybe some juice? At minimum, did you get out a glass and get some water and enjoy that? Folks, every single thing that we have, every single day of our life was provided to us by the Lord. And God reminds us that he is the provider of all things to keep us alive and well. Well, let's move on a little bit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. And catch what God says here. Very important, because now we're looking not only at the feast back in 1491, the first fruits feast, but now we're looking at what Jesus Christ accomplished almost 1500 years later. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says this, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or died. One thing you'll find in Scripture, when you see the words fallen asleep, which are in many translations, it's talking about those who have died. So now we're looking at Christ is the first fruits of what? Of those who have died. In other words, what did God do here? God is looking back 1,500 years back to the Feast of First Fruits, and Jesus Christ is our Christian first fruits of the dead. In other words, and this is so exciting, and it's so powerful, that Jesus Christ, because of what he did, because of his death, burial, and what? Resurrection, God promised that me and you who have trusted in the Lord Jesus will one day be resurrected to newness of life. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man or by Adam came death, by man, Jesus Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Let's stop there for a minute. You're living right now, or you wouldn't be listening to this broadcast, right? So that's pretty simple to understand. The hard part for each and every one of us to sometimes process is that every single one of us will one day die. That is a guarantee, barring a particular event called the rapture, which we'll not discuss today. And God is making it very clear to me and to you that every single person who places their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross as our Passover lamb, also resurrected from the dead 3 days later. Christ dies on Passover. He's buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then 3 days later, up from the grave, what? He arose, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead as the first fruit. Now, what does that mean? It means that every single one of us, and if we went through 1 Corinthians 15:50-54, it talks about when every single Christian will receive a glorified body. The Lord says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. What's going to happen? This old body, this whole sin-sick, decrepit body with its sickness and its problems is going to be taken away, and we're going to receive new bodies when we get to heaven. Folks, that is the Feast of First Fruits. It's looking back at the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, when the Jewish people would bring in their fruits to God. And it's looking prophetically to when Jesus Christ would indeed rise from the dead and guarantee you and me as his children, those who have trusted in him, an eternal place in heaven. Well, have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you understood that you're a sinner, that because you sinned, you have no hope of eternal life apart from Christ? You will have a thing called eternal death, a second death, Revelation 21, verse 8. But you can avoid that. How? Placing your faith in the finished work of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Well, thank you so much for listening. God bless you, and have a great and godly day.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.